Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome, everybody, to the RTC Weekly Download, where we feature all kinds of old-time radio. And today, we feature Frank Sinatra in two phases of his earlier career. We'll start off with Frank Sinatra not singing, but rather acting in a program called Rocky Fortune. And this is called Rocket to the Morgue from 1954.
Here's Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
With the tabloids whispering about unemployment and 24-point headlines, a guy out of work gets the feeling he should grab anything that comes along. So when the kind lady at Uncle's Employment Service hands me a pink slip for an interview, I say yes before I read it. And after I read it, I'm not so sure. Adventurous young man with no family connections, desirous of serving mankind. Exceptional opportunity, unusual pay. Zenith Foundation, 45 Mugman Street. Experimental work, highly dangerous. I locate 45 Mugman Street, which is a shabby little building in a shabby part of town, and I haul myself up five rickety flights to an office with a glass door.
Come in.
Is this the Zenith Foundation?
It could be.
I got a slip.
Just have it. Fortune, huh?
Rocky Fortune.
No family?
None to speak of.
Turn around.
What for?
Because I say so.
Anything you say, pal.
Take out your wallet and toss it here.
Oh, is that kind of dodge, huh? There's only $3 in it.
Take it easy. I have to check it.
Okay, you're holding the artillery.
Let's have a look. No pictures. Home address, 55 Bleakman Street. What kind of a place?
Room and house.
Honorable discharge from the Army. 3 citations. Where?
Anzio.
Your health good?
Terrible, but I ignore it.
Driver's license, chauffeur's license, hack, steamfitters union, maritime card, truckers. You're a drifter, huh?
Yeah, I've been around a lot.
How come?
I get restless. I was born that way.
You go away for a long time ever?
Yeah, 3-4 months.
So nobody would miss you particularly?
Not particularly.
You clean?
You mean jail?
I mean everything. Police record, prints, booked.
Clean.
All right, turn around. Here's your wallet.
$1, $2, $3. Yeah, it's all there.
Okay, Fortune. You can meet the boss.
I'm not so sure I want to. Is this thing legit?
It is not only legitimate, it's top secret. Let's go.
Where?
Utah.
How's that?
That's where the job is, a ranch in the Utah desert.
Oh, I'll pack my stuff and notify the landlady.
You won't need the stuff. We supply the uniforms and equipment. You can write your landlady. It's better that way.
And what'll I tell her?
Tell her you're going away. You're going to go a long ways. Be gone for a long time. Tell her you may never come back.
2 hours later, Milton, that's the bum's name, and me are on a plane headed for Utah. I still don't know where or why I'm going or what I do when I get there, but I figure any kind of a job is better than starvation. Besides, I can always quit. I keep telling myself.
Okay, Chester, set it down.
Is that it?
That's it.
Hey, that's pretty deserted. How come they got such a big house out in the middle of the desert?
A house belongs to the boss. This is where we get out. Let's go.
We head for a big house. It looks like somebody moved an old castle over from Scotland piece by piece. Out behind the castle is the biggest barn you ever saw. Only something tells me cows can't live on sand, so it must have something else inside. What really gets me, though, is the barbed wire all over the joint. We head for the main entrance.
Halt!
It's okay, Harvey.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Milton.
The boss inside?
Yeah, he's in there with the professor and his secretary.
Well, just go right in.
What a layout.
This way.
Come in.
Well, Milton, I see you found a man.
Rock your fortune, this is Colonel Sam Jones.
The Sam Jones? The man who owns half the oil wells?
All the oil wells, boy. All of them.
Oh, glad to know you.
This is Professor von Gluck.
A pleasure, I'm sure.
And Colonel Jones' secretary, Helen. Crandall.
My pleasure.
You're from New York, aren't you?
Brooklyn.
So am I.
Isn't it a small world?
Sure. I think before we continue our discussion, we should inform Mr. Fortune of why he was selected for the job.
By all means. Mr. Fortune, as you know, I'm a wealthy man.
So my broker tells me.
Well, about a year ago, I became interested in science fiction. You know, reading them magazines about rocket ships and men from Mars.
Dimension X.
The only thing is, Mr. Fortune, those magazines are not as far-fetched as you might think.
I'm still with you.
Much of them is devoted to genuine scientific study.
I think you're losing me now.
Well, to put the whole thing into a coyote's ear, I got to reading about the research the Army's doing on space travel.
You mean space travel?
Exactly. For example, did you know that the Army now has a whole department of space medicine? Did you know, sir, that rockets are being devised which have already gotten past the pull of the Earth's gravity?
I seem to remember a picture of some mice in a rocket. They were kind of floating upside down or something.
Exactly. Well, sir, I began corresponding with a magazine telling of my interest. Then one day I saw an article by Professor Van Gluck here announcing a new type rocket ship he'd invented.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Go on, Colonel.
Well, to put the whole thing in a coyote's ear, I decided to devote the remainder of my life to helping develop interplanetary travel.
You just lost me.
I established, with the professor's help, the Zenith American Foundation for the Promotion of Interplanetary Travel, commonly known as ZEPFIT.
ZEPFIT. That's clever. Where do I fit in all this thing?
Well, I'm coming to that, son. Well, sir, it wasn't 6 months before we got the professor's rocket off the drawing board and into the pilot model stage. And that's what we're working on now.
I should explain that the final rocket will be some 20 stories high and will carry a crew of 212. The pilot model is only 3 stories high and carries a crew of 1.
That's you.
No, Mr. Fortune. That's you.
Yeah, well, it's been nice. I enjoyed the plane trip. You got a nice little shack here, and I'll see you around.
Just a minute, Jack. You ain't leaving till the colonel is finished.
Now look, pal.
Now you look.
I'm looking. I'm staying.
Just hear me out, son.
I got no choice. Continue.
Well, the professor here assures me this model is absolutely foolproof. All you gotta do is let us shoot her up to the ionosphere and fall back to Earth.
Fall?
She's equipped with chutes that open when she strikes the Earth's atmosphere.
Colonel.
And in recognition of your service...
I ain't gonna do it,
we
Colonel.
We will pay you...
I don't care how much you...
$10,000.
You pay me, I...
In cash.
When do I leave?
You'll do it.
Did you say 10 grand?
Cash.
I'll do it. Colonel, the way me and money have been separated lately, for 10 grand, I'd fly to the moon on a Roman candle.
Good boy. Professor, you've got your man.
That's it. They give me a room with a view of Salt Lake Desert and all the room service I can tolerate. I kind of feel a little tired, so I stretch out for a snooze. And I'm no longer alone. Who's that?
Shh. It's me.
What's the shh about?
I don't want them to hear me.
Who's them?
The professor and Milton.
Well, in that case, maybe you ought to shut the door. Okay, what's on your mind?
I came to warn you.
Okay, warn me.
Get away from here.
I like it here.
They'll kill you.
I'm going to die one way or another anyway.
Please, I'm not joking.
Look, Miss Crandall, maybe you better get to the point, huh?
The rocket ship that... Shh. Somebody's coming.
Yeah, let's make like we're necking.
Well, well.
Doesn't anybody ever bother to knock in this joint?
I see you and Miss Crandall are getting acquainted.
I was just showing her a few holes. I used to be a wrestler. Flyweight.
You don't waste much time.
I don't have much time, pal. I may be on my way to Mars in a couple of days.
The professor wants to show you the ships.
Fine. Where to?
Out back in the barn.
We go out into the barn, which is a three-story concrete building with what looks like a silo at one end. We go through five sets of electric doors, and I find out it ain't a wheat silo at all. It's a rocket ship, the same kind you see in the comic books, all shiny and streamlined. So we walk over to the colonel and the professor standing near the platform.
There she is, my boy, the colonel's lady. Named her myself.
Yeah, it's very nice. Only one thing.
Yes?
Does it fly?
I love this boy. Son, this ship has inside it the greatest development and engine since Einstein opened the atom. She'll fly from here to eternity if we wanted to.
How about a look inside?
Well, now, I...
Absolutely verboten. I will not risk having any foreign agent steal my design.
Buster, do you remember me? I'm supposed to fly this harpoon.
When the time comes, all you will have to do is step inside. All controls are preset.
Just the same, I'd like to look around.
Absolutely verboten.
You said that before. Okay, but just remember, I might decide to quit.
Mr. Fortune, once I have introduced you to my secret designs for space equipment, it will be too late to quit. You understand?
What the professor means, boy, is once you're in on the secrets, we can't permit you to leave, so it's up to you, Mr. Fortune.
Okay, fellas, I'm in. I go back to my room to think things over, and it occurs to me that maybe I'd better get a gander at the inside of that chromium nightmare out in the barn before I really commit myself on this job. So I wait for dark and then sneak out back. There's a guard standing out outside the hangar, and I strike up a conversation with him.
Halt!
Oh, hi, Emil.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Fortune.
Yeah, I left my cigarette case inside. Can I get it?
I guess it's all right. The professor's inside working on the ship.
Thanks, pal. Emil opens the doors and I go inside. The professor and Milton are inside a little glass office over a drawing board. I can hear them talking as I sneak past.
What do you think, Hans?
Another 100,000 will do it.
You think he'll go for it?
Of course he'll go for it.
Okay, I'll make out the bills of lading. What should I make it?
Titanium and platinum for the preheating coils.
Oh, you better spell it.
I'll write it for you.
Maybe we should lay off. Huh?
Nonsense.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Are the fuel supplies all ready?
I put them in the tanks this morning.
Good. We have to be careful. What was that?
Mice, probably, but... Sound like somebody in a hangar.
Well, you better check. We can't take a chance at this point.
Okay. Anybody out here? Anybody here? If you're out here, you better come out now or you'll be dead.
The mice they heard was me, my big feet stumbling up the ladder to the inside of the ship. So I make the rest of the trip with my shoes off. But it's touch and go all the way when Milton starts to climb the ladder behind me. Now there's nothing to do but slip into the cabin of the ship, which is as black as the inside of a ballpoint pen. And I'm praying that Milton will get tired of climbing, but I hear his feet on the iron steps.
You see anything?
Nope.
Well, check the inside of the ship.
Okay. Turn on the lights.
The lights go on, and I dive into a locker marked fuel tank, don't open. I get the lid on just as Milton sticks the muzzle of his .45 into the cabin.
Anybody in here?
You see anything?
It's empty.
All right. Come on down. I'll switch off the lights.
When I hear Milton go down the steps, I strike a match to see where I'm located. I put it out in the biggest hurry since Paul Revere's ride. The fuel tank is loaded to the giblets with sticks of ordinary blasting dynamite. So I climb out and decide maybe I better have a look around, which I do. What I find is so interesting, I don't even notice it when the door of the cabin slides open again.
Okay, Fortune, get him up high.
I thought you left.
I did. But the guard mentioned that you were inside.
You came up quiet as a mouse, or should I say a rat?
What you say don't matter much. Because you won't be able to talk at all pretty soon.
Ah, I see Mr. Fortune has been snooping around.
That's right, pal. And I've seen some pretty fascinating things, too.
Really?
Uh-huh. This is a real crazy rocket ship you got here, man.
In what way, Mr. Fortune?
Well, for instance, you take them bulkheads. They're the first genuine 12-ounce canvas duck bulkheads painted to look like metal I ever seen. Also, they're marked Property Room, Magnum Picture Studios Incorporated. And you take them 2-foot walls over there, solid tin. Or that phony control room with the stovepipe rocket tubes. This thing's built like a cardboard display model.
Mr. Fortune is very observing.
Ain't he?
A very unfortunate habit.
Very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate for you characters when the colonel finds out you milked him for $5 million to build a ship out of old beer cans.
It would be if he found out, but he won't.
Sooner or later he'll poke around.
No, Mr. Fortune. You see, tomorrow morning we make our test flight.
Pal, you couldn't get this erector set off the ground with a derrick.
We aren't interested in getting it off the ground. You may have noticed the rather unusual fuel we carry, trinitrotoluene, known as TNT.
I begin to see it.
Yes. When the initial rockets go off, there will be a case of acute engine failure. The ship will go up in a cloud of dust, and Milton and I will retire to a small island with $3.5 million to try to figure out what went wrong.
Oh, brother, what a swindle this is.
It is a masterpiece, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was slated to go up in the smoke along with the ship.
Unfortunately, yes. We had to hire someone to make it convincing.
Rocket to the moon, they say. You ought to call it rocket to the morgue.
For you, Mr. Fortune, it will be exactly that. You see, you are going to make the journey as planned.
Milton jabs his persuader in my spine and marches me back to the house. I spend a quiet night staring down the muzzle of a .45. And the first thing in the morning, the professor knocks on the door, lugging what looks like 50 pounds of old inner tubes.
Milton!
Is everything ready?
I informed the colonel we're testing the ship at 8 o'clock. Here, Fortune, climb into this.
What is this?
A spacesuit, complete with two-way radio communication and oxygen. If you press this button, you'll be able to communicate with whomever has the earphones for the receiving set.
That's me.
Yeah, like a walkie-talkie, huh?
Uh-huh.
Here's the receiver, Milton. All right, Mr. Fortune, into the suit.
Now, wait a minute. Is this thing guaranteed to work? A guy can suffocate inside a sack like that.
It will work as long as you will need it, Mr. Fortune. About 1 hour.
The Buck Rogers outfit, and Milton screws the aluminum helmet on my head. By the time he gets finished strapping on the lead boots and the oxygen tanks, I look like Martian Sam the Minstrel Man. Milton turns on the oxygen, and we go outside where the Colonel and Helen Crandall are waiting for us alongside a jeep.
Good morning, gentlemen. Everything ready for the big moment?
Everything is in order. We've just tested Mr. Fortune's spacesuit.
He seems agitated. What's he saying?
Turn on a two-way receiver and listen on the earphones. What is it, Mr. Fortune?
Get me out of this thing. I can't breathe.
What's his
name? He says he's impatient to start the experiment.
That isn't what I said. Colonel, it's a fraud. They're going to blow this whole thing up.
What's he say?
He says he feels confident he'll make it all the way to the moon.
Bully for him.
Oh, you dirty rotten...
No point in wasting the batteries.
The ship is ready, gentlemen. Shall we go?
Well, now, before we get into the jeep, I think we should drink a toast. I have a small flask here.
That's a good idea. There you are.
To the success of our noble experiment.
Now, to that heroic gentleman who's going to make this historic flight, Mr. Rocky Fortune. Fortune! Fortune! He's driving off!
Archie, come back here. Come back, I warn you.
He's going right through the barbed wire.
So long, Milton.
Get the car after him.
See you on Mars, pal.
I gun the jeep through the barbed wire and make it with a few punctures. I take off across the desert until the buggy won't go anymore. And I head for the rocks on foot, which ain't easy when you're wearing lead boots. The trouble with these spacesuits is that you can't get out of them without three mechanics and a blowtorch. Anyway, after about 20 minutes of dragging myself along, I'm surprised to contact what looks like a human being, but I can't be sure.
Easy there, Minnie. Easy, girl. Let's just settle down here and cook up some grub. Sure gets lonesome prospecting out in these rocks, huh, girl? Yes, sir. 3 months on this desert, a man's liable to start seeing things.
Hey!
What's that?
It's me!
Holy smokes, the Martians have landed. Take to the hills.
Oh, Pop, get me out of this suit.
Hey, we got to keep calm, Minnie. Maybe it's a friendly Martian.
Of course I'm friendly. Get me out of this suit.
Sure does talk funny.
Meet the Earthman's friend. You got that me, Earthman.
He's biting to my knife, Minnie. What do you suppose he wants?
Get me out of the suit before I suffocate. The oxygen's running out.
I can't understand your lingo, Mr. Martian.
I'm suffocating. Help.
Why, he's fainted, Minnie. What do you suppose is the matter with him? Well, maybe we better get him out of that there crazy suit.
The oxygen gives out, and all of a sudden the world does a quick blackout. When the lights go on inside my brain, I'm flat on my back in very familiar surroundings. Looking down on my baby blues is the ugly face of my good friend Milton. Oh, what happened?
Take it easy, pal. It's coming out of it, Prof.
It's fine.
Oh, you. Where am I now?
In the rocket ship, pal.
The prospect of the desert.
The old prospector took you out of that spacesuit just in time.
How did I get here?
When he saw you were just a man, he tied you to his mule and brought you right to the house. Convenient, huh?
Swell.
So the professor and me took you back into the ship to get you ready for the trip.
Hey, you skunk.
Make sure he's tied up, Milton. I'll go down and keep the colonel cooled off.
Right.
And as soon as you get clear of the launching platform, I'll set off the charge.
I hope you don't make it, you punk.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Fortune, bon voyage.
There I am, right back in the soup. The professor goes down the iron ladder and Milton bends over to tie me up. I don't have enough strength left to lick a postage stamp, but I figure it's now or never. So I make the supreme effort.
Hold still.
I'm ticklish.
You won't be for long.
Listen, before you tie me up, one favor, huh?
Now go on.
I'll bend over. I'm too weak to shout.
What's on your mind?
This oxygen tank is on my mind.
Yeah, what about it?
I'd like to put it on your mind. Don't ask me how I did it, but somehow I managed to tip over one of those iron tanks over into Milton's head. He goes out like a sick firefly. I know I'll never leave the hangar alive if the professor can help it, so I decide to change clothes with my muscular friend Milton. It takes a couple of seconds, and I pull down the hat, take his gun, and climb down the ladder. 2 seconds later, I'm out of the barn and head for the concrete shelter where the professor and the colonel are going to watch.
Here comes Milton.
Well, we'll give him time to get clear.
I can't understand what made that boy chicken out at the last minute.
We managed to convince him to go through with it.
Colonel, don't let him do it.
Ah, nonsense, girl. This is a historic moment. Ready, Milton? Waving his hat. Let her go, Professor. Right. Look out! Oh! Everybody all right?
I'm all right.
What happened?
The fuel tanks must have exploded.
Poor Rocky.
Yes, too bad.
Yeah, ain't it a shame, though?
What?
Don't move, Herman, or I'll blast your skull.
What's the meaning of this? Fortune, why aren't you on your way to Mars?
I found out I forgot to buy a round-trip ticket, Colonel.
Sir, I demand to
just
know...
Just go over and take a look at that load of junk that this swindler just blew up inside your barn.
Junk, sir? Don't believe him.
These characters swindled you out of $5 million, Colonel. That rocket ship is nothing but paper mache and mucilage.
He's insane.
Am I? Here's a piece of metal that blew out of the barn just a minute ago. Well,
that does look like a part of the tail fin.
Yeah, on one side it looks for real, all shiny silver paint. But if you turn it over, it's the first tail fin you ever saw that says Rappaport Selected Sardines. Let's go, Professor.
What? Why, the boy's absolutely right.
I tried to tell you.
You swindling coyote, I ordered...
Save it, Colonel, save it. The government's got a place for this character. And it ain't built out of old beer cans, either.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman... Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast include Howard Culber, Don Diamond, Dan Riss, Edith Terry, and William Euler. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts. Andrew C. Love directed. Now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Did I ever tell you about the time I decided to find a new room because I found out they were using my old mailbox as a numbers drop? Sure, I found a room, all right, but I almost had to give up my lease on life along with the first month's rent, which was payable in blood. Tell you about it next week. See you around.
Thursday, hear the Academy Awards presentation on the NBC Radio Network.
Now that we've heard a little bit of Frank Sinatra acting, let's go and listen to what he usually is doing, that is singing. This is Songs by Sinatra from 1946.
Listen to Frank Sinatra.
Night and day. You are the one. Only you. Beneath the moon or under the sun.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Songs by Sinatra.
Attention all radio listeners, here is an important warning. Bob Hope is on our program tonight. We may sing a duet. That's all, brother.
Gee, boss, you know, that's mighty decent of you warning him like that. It'll give him time to get out of the house and into the street. You're sure a right guy, boss.
Well, Marv, you know what my motto is. Quid non mortalia pectora cogis.
Well, what's that?
That's Latin for your father's mustache.
boss, you sure are a card.
I'm a card?
Yeah. Thin and square.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. It's that Bob Hope influence. Neighbors, I shall now sing. In other words, breathe heavily with a musical accompaniment. At Pied Pipers, I'd like to interest you in a half interest. Yuki will be very happy.
Don't forget tonight, tomorrow. Though we may be far apart, if you forget tonight, tomorrow, you'll leave me with a broken heart. Are your kisses only mine to borrow? Say you love me and you will be true. And don't forget tonight, tomorrow. Don't forget that I'm in love with you. Are your kisses only mine to borrow? Say you love me and you will be true. And don't forget tonight, tomorrow. Don't forget that I'm in love with you.
Looking into this amazing little invention they call the microphone, where a whisper in New York becomes a whisper in Seattle. And speaking of whispers, here's a little song for you, hey.
I saw you standing in the sun, and you were something to see. I know what I liked, and I liked what I saw, and I said to myself, that's for me. A lovely morning, I remarked, and you were quick to agree. You wanted to walk, and I nodded my head as I breathlessly said, that's for me. I left you standing under stars, the day's adventures are through. There's nothing for me but the dream in my heart, and the dream in my heart that's for you. Oh, my darling, that's for you. Nothing for me but the dream in my heart, and the dream in my heart, that's for you. Oh, my darling, that's for you.
Listen to Frank Sinatra singing, and please, no unnecessary sounds from the F-sharp contingent. Frank Sinatra singing Black Magic.
It didn't make the F-sharp.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers running up and down my spine. The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. The same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts its ride, and down I go, round and round I go, like a leaf that's caught in the tide. I should stay away, but what can I do? I'm a flame with such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. 'Cause you are the lover I have waited for, the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, darling, down and down I go, round and round I go, in a spin, loving the spin that I'm in. Under that old black magic called love.
Thank you, Axel Stardahl. A very fine and lovely arrangement of an expressive song. But on we go, ever nearer to that fatal moment when Robert Hope, old Hook Horn himself, joins me in song. Pied Pipers, grab one off the top shelf and make us hear it, kid.
Jumping and go tipsy in me.
You and you alone bring out the gypsy in me.
You hear me?
I love all the many charms about you.
About you.
Hey now.
Above all, I want my arms about you.
Don't be a naughty baby.
Come to Papa. Please do, my sweet embrace of all you. Do. don't be a bring down mama. Get yourself home.
Thank you, Pied Pipers. Very solid indeed. And now we give you that famous character with the upswept nose, the pride of the G.I. Joes, the lad who knows every gal in Hollywood and gets nose from all of them, Bob Hope.
Thank you, Franklin. Thank you very much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen?
Hey, she's an old one.
At a little late, Mother, but you were in there. How do you... sketch. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Say, well, sir, here I am on the Sinatra Show, and it reminds me so much of the Old West. Yes, sir, the Sinatra Show, where men are men and women are out front screaming, got an extra ticket, got an extra ticket. I get a lot of screams on my show, too, but my network is complaining. It seems they don't allow mice in the studio. Frankie's program goes on at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and I don't know if these girls are anxious to see Frankie or not, but when I came in tonight, I saw an old gray-haired lady waiting in line, so I said, aren't you a little old to be a Sinatra fan? She said, well, I wasn't when I got in line. I wouldn't say that these... Come now, together. And I wouldn't say that these girls want to get a good look at Frankie, but one girl in the audience tonight is using a telescope. Nothing strange about that, of course, except this kid is in the front row. Yes, sir, last Friday, Frankie drove past Hollywood High School and forgot to wave. And for the rest of the day, 1,200 Bobby Sox flew at half-mast. That's down in through there. You know, they say Sinatra appeals to the mother instinct in girls. My mother never squealed at me that way.
Hey, Hope, hey, remember me?
Well, 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 if it isn't his nibs, Mr. Ribs. How are you, Dad?
Well, 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 if it isn't my old pod, Mr. Lard. Flip me some skin, boy. Lend me some skin, will you, old man?
What for? You can't fill up what you've got now.
Tell me, Pot Roast, what's up? Tell me, you been telling any new jokes lately?
Don't start anything you can't finish.
Why not?
Well, look what happened when your mother did it. Since you asked me, Frankie, things are pretty tough in my racket. You know, the only thing that's getting a laugh these days is, that's a joke, son, that's a joke.
Yeah, I know, Bob, but why don't you do like all the other programs are doing? First they steal it, and then they switch it.
Frankie, that line has been switched more than a bull's tail in fly time. More than a bull's tail in fly time. Take last night, for instance. I turned on my radio, and this is what I heard.
Papa.
Yes, son.
Papa, tell me, what's a moron?
That's a jerk, son. That's a jerk.
5 minutes later, I tune in a Western melodrama. Percival Poison, the gimlet-eyed gunman, walks into Polecat Pub. There's a bulge in his hip pocket, and the bartender says,
hey there, Percival Poison. What's that there bulge on your hip, a shooting on? And Percival Poison says,
that's a joke, son. That's a joke.
So the barkeep says, let me have a swig of that there stuff, Poison. So he takes a healthy gulp and says, that ain't a bit strong, Poison. What is that there stuff? And Percival Poison says,
That's a Coke, son. That's a Coke. So, Frankie, you can see why I'm desperate. The gag business has fallen off to one joke. I need a fresh idea.
Got the freshest idea of the year.
Come up.
You go on the radio and tell jokes about me, see? Uh-huh. And I'll lay off eating for a few days and get weak and thin.
You look like a fugitive from Dick Tracy right now.
You mean I'm sort of a Diet Smith?
No, but Irma could use you in the other finger of that rubber glove.
Quit clowning, Hope. I'm offering to make you the inventor of the Sinatra joke.
It's a mighty generous offer, Frank, but who in the world would laugh at jokes about a skinny, run-down, emaciated, rickety, anemic, breathless little... Say, maybe you've got something in there.
I'm telling you, Bob, it's the freshest idea of the year. Now, how about it? Do you think you can make people believe that I'm thin and weak?
Leave it to me, Frankie. I'll tell them you put on a tweed suit and Lana Turner tried to knit you into a sweater.
How fresh.
I'll tell him when you were born, the stork didn't bring you in a bundle. He served you on a platter of meatballs.
How fresh.
I'll tell him you're so round-shouldered, you use a horseshoe for a coat hanger. And I'll tell him you're so weak that you can't even handle your Rice Krispies.
My snap, crackle, pop? Why not?
The explosions blow you out of the kitchen. Frankie, the Sinatra... The Sinatra joke will have unlimited possibilities.
A word of caution, though, Bob. You'll have to keep certain facts from the public.
What do you mean? There's a fresh line. Keep what from... Keep what from the public, Frankie?
Well, the fact that I only look thin, that actually I am wiry and made of iron.
I'll tell them you're wiry and made of copper.
Why is that?
On the side, I'll rent you out as an extension cord.
How fresh.
But, Bob... I'm supposed to be with you. How fresh. Let's make it with two yolks.
We're not very well in unison tonight. But, Bob, one thing more. In writing Sinatra gags, never, never let the public know that I'm crowding 30 and developing a middle-aged spread.
You developing a middle-aged spread?
Well, take a look. Don't you think I have a little bulge right here?
Say. You do... You do have a little bulge at that. It reminds me... It reminds me of an air bubble in a tube of macaroni, believe me.
And chisel schnoz. Above all, never tell the folks that I keep in grand physical condition.
You're kidding. You mean you exercise, Frank?
Just feel this muscle in my right arm. But you never saw an arm like that before.
No, not since the last time I saw Margaret O'Brien in short sleeves. But seriously, Franklin, I don't know how to thank you. These new Sinatra jokes will revolutionize radio. Who knows? They may send Crosby's horses back to the glue factory. And Crosby's shirts to the Goodwill.
And High Time. And Bob, we'll carry over... And High Time.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Pop it where you read it.
Yes, sir.
And Bob, we'll carry over the Sinatra joke into the musical field, won't we? You?
Me? Sir? Why, sure, that I will. And here's how it'll sound. Take it, Bone.
I got it.
Here we go.
Each
drop the
time.
Net.
Each time I see an elephant... Proboscis, or James Durante, that old nose colossus, an eagle's beaks on wings. These foolish things remind me of you.
Are you wearing your belt up here? What is this? Each time I see a straw that someone's sipping, or an umbrella that's all wet and dripping, and when a sparrow sings, these foolish things remind me of you.
I'm thin.
So thin.
What can I do?
I'm sure that you could use the weight that Bing can't seem to lose.
Gladly. Each time I see an egg.
We have rhythm now.
That ain't been hatched yet.
Each time I see a match. That ain't been scratched yet.
The hair that once was Bing. Remind me of you.
That's what we're shouting.
These foolish things remind me of you.
There goes one of the big men in this country. Yes, sir, Robin. You know, neighbors, every line of business has its own magazine. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the electrician, magician, and radio technician. And likewise, the musician. Anyway, I was thumbing through the B-flat section of the show business magazine, Billboard, last night, brushing up on my musical horses. And among those running well up in the money was... Symphony, symphony of love, music from above, how does it start? On the inside lane, running well to the front, and no surprise to you, I'm sure, is... I can't begin to tell you how much you mean to me. My world would end if ever we were through. And mighty big at the $2 window, a fast starter and a strong all the way. Hey, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. And again, according to Billboard and Variety, too, no doubt, you can put a couple of scooties on this here one and know that it'll get, two will get you four, because it's a sure thing. I mean, I'm always chasing rainbows, watching clouds drifting by. My schemes are just like all my dreams, ending in the sky. One of the hottest tips around the Tin Pan Alley track is a steady little filly, very dependable these past several weeks. Kiss me once and kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this before, since can't remember when. It's been a long, long time. And hey, I got into page 24 of Billboard, and along with Long, Long Time, you know what's up there at the top of England's top 20? Bell-bottom trousers, coats of navy blue. She loves her sailor, and he loves her too. But the point I'm leading up to is this one. Our boy Stardoll, our Surrey with the no fringe on top. Our boy Axel, he wrote a song, he did, that's what he did. In collaboration with Sammy, Saturday Night is the Loneliest Night in the Week Con. And Paul Weston, Axel knocked out a ditty entitled Day by Day. And from the inside dope, they tell me it's going to be bigger than Van Johnson's trip in the East. Neighbors, Day by Day. Day by day, I'm falling more in love with you. And day by day, my love seems to grow. There isn't any end to my devotion. It's deeper, dear, by far than any ocean. I find that day by day you're making all my dreams come true. And day by day, I want you to know I'm yours alone, and I'm in love to stay as we go through the years, day by day. You'll Never Walk Alone, the lovely song from Carousel.
When you walk through a storm, keep your chin up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and a sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone, you'll never walk alone. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on.
Bob Hope's yo-yo, what goes down has got to come up. And we've come up to the point where we've got to remind you all that it's time to put your dreams away for another day. And I will take their place in your heart, wishing on a star never got you far.
Excuse me, Hay. I see Bob Hope is leaving. Say, Bob, what's the hurry, Dad?
Well, Frank, I'm going to a lecture.
What a coincidence. I'm going to a lecture, too, Bob.
Really? Who's talking at your lecture, Frank?
Nancy. And she's going to push in my laughing face.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Then I'll have the right to adore. Let your kiss confess this is happiness, darling, and put all your
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.